Hey, what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of Black Seinfeld. This is a show about absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
I go by the name of Psyche.
I go by Bashanissa.
And today, ladies and gentlemen, it's a good day. The weather's been weird. It's been hot one day. It's been cold the next day. It's been windy the other day.
Yesterday was really funny.
Yeah, because it was hot. And then it rained.
Like, it was a
thunderstorm.
A dark cloud took over the city and rained and thunderstorm lightning for probably 2 hours. Then the sun came. It was all orange skies. It was funny.
Really?
I left work around that time when there's like a separation where you could actually see the gray skies. And it was extremely windy.
Oh, when I got home, it was still raining, but I saw a lot of orange in the sky. It was a lot of orange and yellow when the sun was setting.
Okay, that was after.
I was still in the movie theater probably when it started really pouring.
Okay.
Because it was still pouring when I left. Bastion has shown me a picture of it that he did. You put on
no
Twitter?
No filter whatsoever.
No,
yeah,
Bastion,
yeah. I put that on Twitter. Bastionissa.
Okay.
On Twitter.
Okay. All right. That's right. Talk that talk.
I talk politics sometimes.
All right. How you been? I haven't seen you in a week.
Yeah, been same old, working hard, trying to get some projects done over the summer, trying to learn some new software for Black Seinfeld, get some cool stuff done for the summer.
You getting some beats ready?
Beats ready, trying to change things up. Yeah, I can't wait to show the people my new ideas.
Okay.
It's all about new ideas, right? Free thought?
I knew you were going to go there, and I ignore that sentiment. Meanwhile, I have blocked Kanye again. Well, I've unfollowed him again from Twitter, so I don't know anything he's tweeting.
He's stopped using his cell phone, so he doesn't tweet anymore.
Good.
He's finishing the Pusha T album. He showed the track list, 10 songs on it. Pretty interesting.
That comes out next week, right?
The following week.
The 25th.
The following week.
Yeah, next week.
25th. All right. Yes, you are.
Yeah, and this week you have the Deadpool movie coming out.
Yes. Are you excited for that?
No.
Okay. We're both not excited about it. We're not interested in Deadpool, but we will probably see it years from now. So we won't do a review on it.
No, I'll see it for $5.
Okay. We're not going to do a full review on it.
Yeah, we're not going to do a whole episode on Deadpool because I could care less.
But I will be interested if we do a 10-minute review on Solo.
I don't even want to watch Solo. And I know Donald Glover's in it and all, but I have no interest in watching it because the whole Han Solo movie, it's not needed. And the fact that the trailer has this big scene where Han is holding on to Chewie, I think acting like he's going to die, it's all ridiculous in my book because we all know they survive.
In my take, first of all, like quick Star Wars talk. I know they're coming out with two different TV shows, a live action and a cartoon show. In my opinion, what Star Wars was supposed to do is do some like anthology thing like Star Trek's trying to do, where each season discusses a certain character. We don't necessarily need the movies. I think a TV show should be fine. You know, 10 episodes, choose a character, get in depth with it, and you're fine. So I think we should have gotten like a Han Solo TV show for like one season. The next episode, then like next season, go over a different character. We don't need a big budget movie. They're spending too much money on it.
Honestly, I don't even want a Solo show.
No, I wouldn't mind, but it has to be like during the Solo era. It doesn't have to be like his past or his come up, because there's a lot of great Han Solo books talking about all the dumb things he's done. So that'll be fun to see. But I don't want to see Han Solo meet Chewie or, you know,
I'd rather like a Boba Lando. Fett. I'd rather see like a Boba Fett movie or a Boba Fett show. Some obscure character.
That'll be a season.
That would be cool because we don't really know much about him.
That's the
we
thing.
We know a lot about Han Solo, so I don't care.
No, but they, like I said, Han Solo has a lot of good books, but they're non-canon right now. So they're trying to pick out what stories they want.
Okay. That's fair.
That's not a hot take, but I think it's a good idea. Like I said, Disney has all this money. I said extra money once. My little brother corrected me. It's like, there's no such thing as extra money. They have money.
Yeah.
So.
They're going to be a monopoly soon, I feel. Disney.
Yeah. wants to take over everything.
Hey, man, there's another biopic coming out in November, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's Queen, Freddie Mercury.
Yes, played from, what's his name, Rami?
Yeah.
From Mr. Robot, my favorite TV show.
And one, I'm kind of excited for it. I've seen the trailer. The trailer was released yesterday. Well, Tuesday. It was released Tuesday. And I'm kind of excited, but I'm holding back my excitement because they ruined Tupac last year in that god-awful movie.
Yeah. He's being played by Rami Malek.
That's his name. Rami Malek.
Yeah.
Or Elliot, as I like to call him. Mm-hmm. But last year, they just ruined Tupac so much where, like, and I didn't care. Like, the character looked like him. They had all the songs in it. But the movie itself just did not make sense. And it just
sucked. Never watched it. I got, like, two takes from it. Your take on it and Vince Staples' take on it and Charlamagne. Mm-hmm. So I got their take on the movie, and I put all those like ridiculous explanations together. So I have this kind of colorful picture of what the movie is about.
Well, you know me, I have a bachelor degree in thug life with a minor in Machiavellian philosophy. So I was really hurt by the movie. I hope they don't ruin my beloved Freddie Mercury or Queen. Just don't.
One thing that I do know that you probably get offended by is like they're not going to talk about the AIDS epidemic in the movie.
They're not?
And that's like...
Wait, that's like that's really a thing?
Yeah.
They said that on Oh my... What?
Yeah.
So, wait, is he going to die in this film?
I'm not sure because the question is it about him?
Or is it about Queen?
The band? Yeah, the band. If it's about the band, it's sure that makes sense. But you know,
if it is still about the band, he was the front man. So yeah, it's kind of a big deal because you can't have Queen without Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, but it's like, well, what type of story are they trying to tell? Are they trying to do like a Thurgood Marshall movie where it's just one story and one case, or are they trying to do like the Brown story where it's like the whole thing and they talk about different people on his entire journey?
Sort of like a Straight Out of Compton sort of look.
Yeah, I think it could work out. Are the people in Queens still alive? I'm not too sure. Are the people around that time so they could give some information?
Yes.
Okay. Because I remember, like, I hate to bring up Vince Staples Charlamagne again, but they made a point saying that it's interesting making a biopic. Because if the person's still alive, the actor could meet them and they have much more respect for them. So they're not going to do anything ridiculous. Hence, like, the Aaliyah movie, you know? So,
man, that brought me back to the Tupac movie. Because they really Aaliyah Tupac. Like, he died and then it went black and that was it.
And I promise that I'm pretty sure in our archive that we still have an episode talking about that.
About the Aaliyah movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm thinking about it right now.
2015. Man. Old Black Seinfeld episodes.
Man, when R. Kelly married Aaliyah when she was like 15.
Yeah.
Weird. R. Kelly's a sick bastard, man.
Weird.
He is sick.
So the biopic are much easier to do if the person's still alive.
Absolutely.
Or it's been years, years, years after that person passed. So we could get a little something in between. Hopefully it's an interesting movie. I'd like to know more about Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, man, he was really an enigma.
Yeah.
Oh, when the first time I heard Another One Bites the Dust, I thought black people made it.
Yeah.
And then when I found out it was Queen, I'm like, oh.
It has an interesting bass line that I'm trying to learn from
and
it.
And that was the reason why I thought black people made it. It was that bass. It had some soul to it. So I'm like, damn, okay, these are some... And they were British. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't know that.
Very interesting.
Yeah. You know what else is interesting?
Music.
Speaking of music and speaking of interesting, there is a new Renaissance man of the culture that we have been preaching about for years.
For years.
That now all you mainstream little punks want to get on all of a sudden.
Nobody listened to me.
No one listened to you. No one listened to me. Even when Awaken My Love came out, I tried to put this at work. I was like, all right, shut it off. Now, my friend.
I feel Awaken My Love takes some, like, you have to be at home by yourself or, like, put it on some headphones in order to get it in. You can't play it through the speaker yet. For the new ears. That's my take on Awaken Love. But continue.
But thing is now.
Yeah.
Is Donald Glover, Childish Gambino, whomever you want to call him now, comes out with This Is America. And if you don't know, This Is America is, it's probably like the number one trending song in America
Number one in the Billboard.
Number one on the Billboard. Is over 126 million. It beat Drake. I didn't know that.
It beat Drake.
Dang, look at our boy coming up, man.
That's his first number one single. Redbone made it to number 12.
I thought Redbone was number one.
It made it to number 12.
And here's a hot take about this is the America song. I don't like it. Compared to his other works, I just don't like the song. I like listening to the song when I watch the video.
Okay.
The visual, I like to watch the visuals with the audio. If I just listen to the audio, it doesn't really do it for me. It's sort of like Lil Dicky and Freaky Friday.
All right. So that's kind of one of the arguments that's been going on right now, that the video is more captivating than the song itself.
Yes.
And me and my little brother had a discussion, and I will gladly disagree with you.
Okay.
Because from watching the video, it's an amazing video. I saw it like 10 times when it first came out because I saw the SNL, then I saw that the video. The song itself makes sense because we've been listening to this, like I say a million times in the show, this is the trap era. We're still in it. When is it going to end? Not anytime soon. It's still heavy. Playboi Carti just came out with an album with 19 tracks. We'll get into that later. So we're in the trap era. What does it mean to hip-hop? And this right now is my answer. This entire song is the answer to what the trap era is. Because he's not only like talking about this is America in the video because a lot of things are going on. He's, you know, he's captivating the audience by dancing while there's violence in the background. The lyrics he's saying are just like quotes that rappers have been saying for the past, you know, 6-8 years. You know, 8 to 6 years. So... And also, he's using ad-libs from everybody, from Block Boy to Slim Jim to Young Thug to 21 Savage. He's just using everybody's ad-libs. And Quavo, you know, the Migos. Mm-hmm. Every time he says a line,
yeah,
here's the ad-lib.
I'm not saying I don't like it because it's trap. I'm saying I don't like it because sonically, it's not one of his best works. And as we know, because we're Gambino fans,
yeah,
he's been... conscious in his previous works before. I just felt like this one was more of a visual art piece rather than an audio. And for those of the people who have never listened to This Is America, if like, I don't know, you probably live under a rock, that's cool. We don't judge. I'm gonna play you a little bit of it right now so you can get a little taste of what we're talking about right now, okay? Don't got you slipping up. Look how I'm living up. Police be tripping up. Yeah, this is America. Guns in my area. I got the strap. I gotta carry 'em. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go into this. Yeah, yeah, this is gorilla. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go get the bag. Yeah, yeah, or I'ma get the pad. Yeah, yeah, I'm so cold like, yeah. Yeah, I'm so dull like, yeah. We gon' blow like, yeah. So that's a little taste of Childish Gambino's This Is America. You can hear some of the themes, guerrilla warfare, guns in my area.
Yeah, like I said, it's the same old trap music talk that he's able to kind of condense into just small bars really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear the ad-libs, like the who and the skirt skirt. Like, it's all just every ad-lib that you could think of.
It's very Atlanta, I'll say that. It's very South.
It's very South because the South is what... hip hop is right now, or the popular hip hop is, and I'm not mad about that. You know, East Coast had its era, West Coast had its era. The South is in its era right now because everybody ignored old South music. I can tell you that, but I enjoy this music. I like the sonically how it sounds because it's a mix because it goes from like a bit choirish. Mm-hmm. I could compare it to Chance the Rapper just a little bit, but it's like we got the choir and everybody saying "Get your money," then it just kind of transitions with like a 808 drum, mm-hmm, that just gets into like a trap melody. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, quick, easy rap, mm-hmm, to it. Nothing too serious.
Content wise and visual wise, I respect the content. Like, I respect the lyrics and I respect a lot of the symbolism that is going on throughout the videos because we have, of course, we have obvious ones of the gun being so carefully placed on his pillow. Meanwhile, the shot black man is just so roughly just feathered away. We have, of course, the choir scene, which is very controversial. talking about the whole Charleston incident that happened with Dylann Roof, and Gambino just shot a choir in the video.
Yeah.
Which is, it is powerful, because literally, no pun intended, this is America.
And that's kind of one of the things. Oh, as you said, the gun was wrapped in like a red cloth.
Yes.
So it's like the red cloth itself. What does it mean? Like, in my opinion, it kind of resembles the red, white, and blue in the flag. When we're in school, what does the red kind of signify? Like
blood.
Blood, you know? So it's like we're...
Red in a lot of countries signify blood.
I don't know. I feel like we... Yeah,
in flags. In flags. Least. In flags.
Yeah. But that's the way I look at it.
Like blood on your hands?
Blood on your hands. Mm. Yeah. It's like, this is the weapon. This is where we carefully... No. Mm-hmm. We don't care about the person, but we carefully protect the weapon that Absolutely. We're using. So it's like carefully wrapped around this red cloth, like nice and presentable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got from it.
I got a lot from this video. I understand how he was dancing with these group of kids, but in the background, it was just so chaotic. And to me, I feel like that's what we do as Black people sometimes. Sometimes, you know, things may be chaotic within the community, but we just like sing and harmonize, and we try to make the best lemonade out of these sour ass lemons.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. Basically, it's that's a good take on it, actually. I like that analogy. With all the pain that's going on, we're still able to have fun and dance and entertain, because we're all entertainers at the end of the day. Well, most of us.
Yeah. I mean, what we do is entertainment, sort of.
Yeah. And we're a balance of the entertainers and the working class.
Yeah.
So we're giving our peace to the public, but at the same time, we're giving our peace to the public.
I don't know, man. People have been telling me, yo, y'all going to get on, bro. Y'all going to get on. I don't know. We'll see.
But can't wait.
We're very proud of Donald Glover. He's the new Renaissance man. He can do anything. Okay?
I met him twice.
You have met him twice, and y'all talked about anime.
We talked about Akira.
Yeah, you talked about Akira.
Yeah, because we were talking about... Anyways, he was very buzzed. But I got an autograph on a vinyl,
because
a
bootleg, right?
Yeah, because of the internet, a day before it came out, before like the original, the new vinyls came out with the script, I got a vinyl with the red vinyl, which was like the bootleg version. So I have that signed, and I did later on get the real one.
Mm-hmm.
That came out like a whole 8 months later.
And speaking of Solo, he's gonna be in the Han Solo movie as young Lando next week,
which is great, because I'm gonna get a toy. Then I say I have a Childish Gambino toy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is, yeah, you can say that.
Yeah, look, I got a Childish Gambino toy.
Atlanta just wrapped up. Robin season.
Want to give you a quick summary?
Sure, because now finally I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, it's a great, great season. I've watched every episode 3 or 4 times. I think my favorite episodes was Teddy Perkins and The Barbershop. Those are the two mind-boggling episodes. You know, if you ever, I think The Barbershop is relatable for all cultures, because barbershops, like,
it's the hub of like, it's really the hub of just like male gathering.
Yeah, it's the hub of that, and also side hustles.
Absolutely.
Every barber does a side hustle, and the way they went over Bibby doing the side hustles is PTSD for a lot of people, going to the barbershop, just wasting an entire day there.
Mm.
So, and one thing about the season that I like you said, it's Robin season.
So that theme is carried throughout each episode in some form of robbing.
Every episode has some form of robbing. And it's painful, because by the time you get to the end of the episode, you think, what was robbed this season? And then he's like, dang, that hurts. So yeah, my favorite episode, definitely Teddy Perkins. That's like the best episode out of the whole for the whole season.
I remember the first sort of little spark of the robbing season was when Paperboy got robbed by his weed dealer. Do you remember that?
Yes, that was in the first or second episode.
That was like second episode.
Yeah.
And I thought that just sucked. Because like, you know this guy, and he's like, yo man, I'm sorry, but I gotta feed my kids. And Paperboy's just like, yo, just go, man.
It was really weird. Something, you know,
that would be like if you robbed me.
One thing I seen on Twitter that's very interesting is like, Paperboy should think of retirement, you know. But that was like episode 2, and everything is a bit rough.
The thought of Paperboy,
like
the rapper,
the rapper Paperboy, okay, should like think of retirement, you know, stop this rapping stuff and start focusing on other things because the city's not respecting him.
Of course.
And throughout the season, they kind of answer some of those questions about city respecting him. Mm-hmm. He's not making a lot of money off rap. And it's like, how do you make money on rap? And also management too, which is very interesting. That I know a lot. We know managers,
of course,
that come on the show.
Yes.
So this kind of gives us kind of a look in their life and how difficult it is to manage.
That is true.
It's one thing to rap. It's another thing to manage a rapper.
Exactly. And you got to think about, again, with the robbing season, how many people have taken Paperboy's song and flipped it into something, this alternative.
Yeah.
Sort of. That's a form of robbing.
Yeah.
You know who else was robbing? Nicole Arbour.
Oh, great transition.
I know. I'm on one today, bro. This is where it's going to start getting real. So for those of you who do not know, Nicole Arbour is a YouTuber who was also, she's an entertainer. I believe she was a cheerleader for the Toronto Raptors. She's like an actress. She's a singer.
Side hustles.
She does a lot of side hustles. And Bastion sent me this video of Nicole Arbour doing a women's feminist version to Gambino's This Is America. And once I saw the video, Bastion didn't know that I'm familiar with who Nicole Arbour is, because Nicole Arbour has always said things that are very problematic.
Controversial.
Very controversial. I remember there was this one instance she tweeted that she was tired of people talking about slavery and that she wasn't there. And you weren't there either, so you should stop talking about it. We should talk about how we should have better economics or some stupid crap like that.
The Kanye stuff.
Yeah, of course, the Kanye stuff. So Nicole Arbour isn't new to like controversy or whatever. So I really didn't care about it because this is Nicole being Nicole. But my thing is, why can't we just have nice things? Like, why do you have to go and put raisins on the potato salad? Why do you have to do that? It was a good video as it is, okay? I may not like the song, but I feel the soul. I can feel the message. I understand the importance of the song. And here comes Becky again doing something that she shouldn't be doing. Yeah, anything to say, bruh?
Did you see the whole video?
I did see the whole video.
Yeah.
I did.
It was weird because one thing that I don't like is that we have so many memes on the video that's kind of ruining what the video is meant to be, but we can't stop the culture. It's the internet.
Yeah, it's the internet.
So just let it be, have fun with it. But this is like, it takes it to the next level where I you know what? I kind of predicted this.
You thought someone was going to.
Yeah, because this song.
I knew it
after
too.
After it passed 50 million on YouTube, I was like, someone's going to make their own version of this.
Absolutely.
They have to, because if you remember Single Ladies with Beyonce and how fast that just shifted on the internet and everybody had their own version of it.
Of course.
This is like, we're in an internet age. You just need a good camera. Get a $300 camera, a crew of five people, someone that's really, really good at Adobe Premiere, and you can get everything done in the warehouse. So it was not
that's
difficult.
Exactly what Nicole did. I mean, Nicole is popular. So.
Yeah. So get someone popular. Changing the message, because don't get me wrong, I understand what she was doing with her message, but it just didn't work out that way. It just didn't work out.
I'm sorry, screw her message. This is another form of white feminism, and this is why I hate white feminism, because the sole principle of why white feminism came out was because black men tried to get a right to vote and they didn't want, and I'm being real. I'm being so real. They didn't want black men to vote, so like, hell no, we're not gonna let these niggers vote before us. Screw Susan B. Anthony. On some real ish. Hold up. I'm getting mad. I'm going to let y'all listen to some of this vanilla music real quick. I'm going to let y'all listen to it, okay? Y'all thought September by Taylor Swift was bad. Listen to this real quick. Listen to this. Just.
Because they'll get you slipping up.
Hey, come on.
This is America. We'll say North America. Look how we living now. The boys will be tripping now. This is America.
Mm-hmm.
Got rape in my area.
Mm-hmm.
You got a dream?
Yeah.
The roofies got into your car.
Hey, this is America.
See, do y'all hear it? Why can't we just have nice things? You know what I mean? Just why?
like I said, the message is there. I understand it. The pockets weren't there at all.
Absolutely not.
No pockets.
Did you feel any soul from that?
No. Could have worked on the ad-libs a bit more.
I mean, I understand what she was trying to do, but but just make your own song. Like, don't parody Donald Glover's track, man.
In the marketing world, this is kind of the best thing to do. As you could see, everybody, like,
so far she took off the comments were disabled, the like to dislike were taken off too, because them dislikes was crazy.
Yeah, but you gotta understand, it's good for her brand.
Of course it is, but her brand is always this though, so that's why I didn't care about it.
But it worked out because I didn't know who she is. Now I know. You know, the most popular song that came out less than 11 days ago, right? Mm-hmm. Because she made her own parody of it. Not necessarily parody, but she made her own version of it. Now that just worked in her favor.
I bet you Susan B. Anthony is one of her heroes in the feminist movement.
Susan B. Anthony is interesting because if you don't know beyond her, the context of what you learned in school, it's like you think she's a great person.
Hell no. She is the worst person.
I said beyond the context of school.
You're right. You're right. I'm sorry. I'm just a little bit like...
Like Gandhi and so-and-so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gandhi, man.
So, yeah. So, what's your take on the whole situation?
About Nicole Arbour?
Yeah. Or the concept
it's just
of...
her brand.
The concept of taking something that has a strong message and using it for your advantage for a marketing set.
Well, in the case of Nicole Arbour, I'd expect her to do something like this because... this is what she's done throughout her whole career. She's always just stirred up some sort of controversial mess. I think if you want to take a song that already has a stronger message, that has a strong message to it, and you want to add to it, I don't think you should do it, honestly, because the original stands. Like, the original version is what it is. If you want to make your own version, just make your own version, and don't try and parody off of someone else, okay? Be original. But, like, be talented first.
Of course.
Because that was just horrible.
Yeah, I just wanted to see how many views it got. It got 1.4 million views.
Yeah, 1.4 million views. There's a lot of dislikes.
It came out 4 days ago.
Yep. Man, this is the world we live in. Hey, we're not even done talking about Donald Glover, but we will be taking a break shortly. Bastion, you have an obsession with... I don't know who Mos Def is, but with Yasiin Bey.
Yasiin Bey, a.k.a. also known as Mos Def, also known as the original Pretty Flaco, before he gave it to A$AP Rocky.
You know what's crazy? I really think in like 2 weeks you're going to play Just to Get By.
Nah,
I really do.
Nah, I wouldn't. That's Time Quality you're talking about.
I know, but I'm saying it's still in the same stratosphere.
Nah. Okay, let me tell you something real quick before we play the song. Mm-hmm. I like Mos Def, not too crazy about Time Quality.
Really?
Not too crazy.
Why not?
I like Black Star together as a unit, but I just...
why don't you like Talib?
Lyrically, I don't like the way he raps. I don't like his voice. I think it just deals with his voice. And
see,
his,
now you understand how
thing.
I feel about MF Doom.
MF Doom? Oh, no, you're just a weeb. All right.
A weeb?
So today,
what's a weeb?
Oh, today we're going to play the song Traveling Man, produced by DJ Honda. And Mos Def, also known as Yasiin Bey.
Yeah. Yo, I'm trying to play leaving. Right. See you at the end, bro. These cats is paying more than half a pound. My garment bag, I snatch it down. I got the skate, but we could probably run them back in town. Scenario
scenarios like this is tearjerkers for the modern MC. I eat a blue collar worker, cause this thing called rhyming no different from coal mining. We both on assignment to unearth the diamond. When you start climbing and them eyes start shining, you be struggling and striving, and they think you prime timing. Maintain and keep silent, make no an observation. It's confrontation, this is the daily operation. My concentration, stay focused on my recitation. About to reach my destination with no pause or hesitation. Baby, make the preparation, cause this ain't no recreation. This is pro ball, and we letting you know, y'all, at the show, y'all. Doing this for dough, y'all. Get the phone call, and I'm ready to blow, y'all. About to go, y'all. Been a pleasure to know, y'all. And I'm letting you know. Drop these heavy ass bags up my backbone. Around the world with a catalog of rap songs. My baby girl is walking, been away for that long. But no, you haven't, well, at least it's how it seemed to me. My hometown is like a whole different scenery. The old timers on the stoop leaning leisurely. The new jacks up in the park smoking greenery. Easily taken for granted when you up in it, but it's sweet sinning. When you've been down for a minute, move around city limits, break them down with the vintage. The N.O. Bennett, classical B-boy image, collect the winners, cause that's the reason that we came here. This thing is not a game here, the fortune, not the fame here. From New York to the Cadillacs, Cali and the Cadillacs, Chicago, no, we innovate, infiltrate Virginia State, D.C. make me stimulate, Philly, no, we penetrate, Georgia make us generate, let's celebrate to get the pace, they celebrate on my jams in foreign lands, even your mans in Japan know who I am, and our son, make everybody out in the fun, say Ichiban, make God man, but where you get it from, phenomenon, excuse me, that's a phone call, it's a show, y'all, trying to get this dough, y'all, about to blow, y'all, been a pleasure to know, y'all, and I'm letting you know that memories don't live like people do. They always remember you, whether things are good or bad. It's just the memories, memories don't live like people do. Baby, don't forget me, I'm a traveling man, moving through places, space and time. I got a lot of things I got to do, but in short, I'm coming back to you. Baby boo, I'm a traveling man, moving through places, space and time. Got a lot of things I got to do, but God willing, I'm coming back to you. Back to you, I'm
And that was the Mighty Mos Def, a.k.a. Yasiin Bey.
Traveling Man.
Traveling Man. Welcome back to Black Seinfeld, ladies and gentlemen. It's a show about absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
I'm Psyche.
I'm Bashanissa.
And we are here with intern Mike. What's up, man?
What's up, Black Seinfeld audience? What's up, Sebastian? What's up, Giovanni? How y'all doing?
It's good to have you back.
I'm happy to be back. I love this show, and I just love the opportunities that y'all give me to say some words, you know?
Like, well, you came in at a great time because we were talking about the Childish Gambino, This Is America video, and now we're going to get into some of the, I guess you could say, backlash or some of the controversy surrounding not even the video, but Donald Glover himself.
I think we're in the age of everything needs to be canceled if it doesn't. If I don't agree with your personal views, and I think it's complete nonsense that we shouldn't do that, because we're never going to agree 100% with anybody.
Absolutely not.
You know, I think I sent you an article by Ta-Nehisi Coates.
About Kanye West.
And everything about that article made sense, But there's backlash on him because they don't like him.
Why do you not like Ta-Nehisi Coates?
Because of like they don't like some of the people that he respected, that he called, that he said that was his heroes in like other mediums. Like
who are some of his heroes?
I'm not too sure in these writers, but you know, like if you're a writer, you have all these other talented writers that you well respected. But some of those writers that people don't respect, so said, oh, why would I listen to him? He likes this writer. And that was kind of the bubble that was going on. Because his article was commenting on canceling other artists because you disagree with them. And he understands the idea and the bubble that you might keep yourself in.
Right.
But it's like, if people comment on you because you're slightly different, what does that even mean anymore? Because you're not with the public view. It's not even the public view. I don't know.
You think it's just like a small minority view?
I'm going to get into that. Okay. When we get into the subject.
Okay, so the subject is Donald Glover. We should pull Donald Glover's black card because he's with because he has a white baby mama. Or is he married?
No, he's not married.
That's his girl, right?
That's his baby mama.
Okay,
and so they have two kids
because he has two kids with this white woman, and he made a conscious song called "This Is America." And if you agree with what Dr. Umar says, you're not going to get a lot of respect if you don't commit yourself to a black woman. I love Dr. Umar and all, but I disagree with Dr. Umar with that statement, okay?
I don't like Dr. Umar Johnson. I don't. Because, like, what he said about, like, homosexuals. Because I have a homosexual uncle and I have a homosexual cousin. So, like, it's like.
It's disrespectful.
Yeah, like, come on. You can't talk to him about saying, like, they ruining the black community because they like men. You know what I'm saying? That's my family.
But yeah, we do have that small minority as well who feel like Donald Glover isn't truly black because he has two mixed children with this white woman, which is stupid within itself. But then another whole controversy stirred up, and it was some post that said, "Let's be real, you black woman wouldn't want to date someone like Donald Glover because he would be called a nerd or weird in high school."
It's not thug enough.
Right, which does play on that narrative of... Because isn't Donald Glover from the hood as well?
Not necessarily. Like, mm-hmm. He did go to like public schools and everything, but mm-hmm. he did get the best experience that he could get out of growing in Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Mm, okay. And I believe there was a quote that said Donald Glover... He would try to talk to black women, but black women wouldn't want him because of how different he was. Am I correct?
Yeah. And we have to like discuss when Donald Glover was a comedian. This is like back in 2010, 2009, when he was coming out of the whole NYU phrase.
Yeah, great, great special, by the way.
When he had the Derek Comedy posted. This is like after Derek Comedy. Mm-hmm. The Mystery Gang. The Mystery Team,
yes.
if you want to watch that movie, premium OG Donald Glover stuff. But he had like comedy sketches being a black nerd. Mm-hmm. You know, that was kind of his thing. And because, you know, comedians have to take a form of a type of caricature in order to like kind of stand out. And that was his form, is that he's a black nerd. He likes music that black people don't normally listen to and stuff. So, yeah.
Right, so he was quoted as saying that growing up as a black nerd, black women wouldn't give him the time of day for being different and liking stuff that was outside of the black norm.
Yeah,
and
you can tell by his original EP. If you listen to all the songs and you don't know what the original song came from, I'm not a rapper and I'm not a rapper too. Mm-hmm. Then he was kind of playing on that. It's like I rap on beats that black people don't know. Which artist came from, mm-hmm. you know?
How do you feel about that stance of black women not liking me because I'm different from the social black norm of thuggery and that?
I don't necessarily believe in that part. That there's a different. Mm-hmm. It kind of depends on where you're from. Like, were you bullied as a kid mm-hmm. because you like different things, or were you bullied because you're lame or something? Mm. And some people might put those two together. Oh, I was bullied because I like watching Dragon Ball Z and stuff. Like, black people love Dragon Ball Z from the start. But
right.
I think people kind of forget why they kind of dislike things or why they're either bullied or they're kind of. Where they were as a kid, they weren't necessarily disliked because they're a black nerd. There's other reasons for that. You know, I think in some articles that I sent you, it's like some black nerds just weren't interested in the black nerds that are the women.
Right.
They're more interested in someone else that's like just not even they don't have the same interests at all. Mm-hmm. So what does that say about the black nerds in school? Like, were they against black women too? Or they wanted a certain type of black woman for themselves?
Maybe in that article you sent me, I believe it was some of the black nerds also wanted the popular girls, and I would understand that, but
no,
popular girls ain't gonna go for some of y'all, dog. I'm sorry. Exactly. It's just but yeah, I feel you on that. I feel you on that, bro.
Yeah. You got anything to say, Mike?
It's crazy. I kind of look at it as in a different perspective. I kind of look at it like it's different. Like, you know, people don't like different. They want everything to like be the same. So like, if this certain person is not like everyone else, then he's an outsider, and I can't rock with him. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, growing up in Harlem, East New York. Like, if a dude like anime, or if a dude like was like in the comics and stuff, oh, he a clown. The girls like into like the drug dealers and the scammers and the ones who had like a record. You know what I'm saying? That was supposed to be the cool thing. You know what I'm saying? I gotta love him. Like, he gotta have a record. He gotta have some edge to him. He gotta be some street dude. You know what I'm saying? But now, like, when you look at it, now they want that black nerd, that dude that went to class, that dude who had a job. You know what I'm saying? The dude that wasn't in trouble.
Now,
exactly, the one who graduated college.
I feel like this is relatively nothing new at all, because if you flip it culturally, like, you know, well, like white movies, they fell in love with like the bad boy or whatever. And in black culture, it's like they fall in love with the thug. I'll talk from personal experience. Me in high school, I was pretty much ostracized and outcasted from a lot of stuff. And it does a little bit have to do with my personality, because I was very antisocial at that time, and I was very angry, and I also did like different things. I remember one time in AP literature, I was the only person excited to read Catcher in the Rye, because I'm a sociopath and I wanted to figure out why did that guy kill John Lennon. So that was the only reason why I was excited to read Catcher in the Rye. I also like just watched different shows compared to everyone else that was around me. I didn't watch Love and Hip Hop. I was watching SNL back then. And I was still watching pro wrestling, because a lot of people didn't really watch pro wrestling at my school anymore. And everyone was getting pregnant or had an STD.
My problem is, I think most people think high school is like
the end all be all.
Yeah, exactly. And it isn't. It isn't, because you could grow out of high school. You know, yeah. I pretty much grew out of high school the minute I left.
Same.
No, the same summer, you know, 2012. That's it. Mm-hmm. Kind of done with whatever we did in the past. Mm-hmm. But people shouldn't keep on reflecting on it.
Right. I feel like you shouldn't let high school defy who you were, because, you know, live for today, not for yesterday, bro. Like,
yeah.
50 Cent said it in Wanksta.
Shouts out to 50, man. He really is a
fool. In high school, you was the man, homie.
Exactly. Think about it.
Living in the past doesn't really help you out today. Yeah.
And if you really do, trust me, there's a lot of beautiful women out there that love, quote unquote, black nerds. There really is.
The concept of black nerd shouldn't even be a thing. Like,
yeah, why can't I just be a nerd?
It's categorized.
Why do you have to be anything? Why can't you just be a human being?
Like something slightly different. You know
what I'm saying? And people like to label.
Of course, like, why can't you just be normal and let me just pick your brain? Let me get to know you, instead of you just judging me because of the fact that, like you said, like, I don't watch Love and Hip Hop.
And I don't know who Arnaud Barneau is.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't got no criminal record. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, why can't you just get to know me as a person? Like, I might change your life, baby. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. Were you talking to someone right now? I feel like you were talking to some girl like, yo, I could change your life, ma.
Nah, it's not even like that. I'm just
Mike
saying.
Mike is
like,
hitting waking up the people at 5:45 in the morning.
Hey.
Nah, I'm just saying, like in perspective, like Donald Glover, because Donald Glover, he's an interesting person. He has a great personality.
He has the blackest television show out there. How can you try and, like, take away his black card?
And he's one of the most talented brothers that we have on this earth.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he can rap. He does comedy. He can act.
He's the Renaissance man.
He can sing. Like, come on. That's, like, the total package right there.
So the whole thing is, some people made some comments, and those comments went viral, saying that's not true. That's the way I look at it. I don't think, like, my problem with Twitter, because that's kind of in Facebook, it's kind of where it started, is people think the whole population
thinks
is
like
on
this.
That, exactly. Or thinks like this. That's not true. Because if anything, I see more people saying that's not true, that you shouldn't revoke his black card because of that incident. Because not that incident. Because of what he did in life. You understand? Yeah. That's what I think. I think that most people just look at some comments and they just amplify it.
I don't see y'all revoking Serena Williams' black card.
It's like with situations like that. If you black, you black regardless. That's what the society sees you. That's what the world sees you as, a black man. You could be rich, you could be poor, you're still gonna be black. You still gotta go through those struggles. Mm-hmm. So you still gotta be woke. It's like, for an example, when LeBron James, when they spray painted his garage. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you know what I'm saying? It's like, LeBron James is worth over $200 million.
Exactly. And but they still want him to shut up and play this basketball.
Exactly. Like, shut up and dribble.
The whole point of this whole argument is, black people isn't exempt from blackness, okay? Because guess what? We got white people calling the cops on us for having barbecues.
Facts.
And chilling at Starbucks.
And Yale.
And sleeping at Yale.
Yeah.
Where they go to school.
We're definitely going to get into that next week.
We are. Because white people, that's going to be the talk. That's going to be next week's episode. It's going to be called Dear White People. Okay? Because we need to have a talk. All right? I'm tired of y'all. All right? Calling the cops on us for what I call LWB.
LWB.
Living While Black.
I was just chilling outside.
Then cops call.
So let's quickly get into music.
Yeah, we could quickly get into some music before we wrap up. I mean, there's a couple albums that drop, a lot of albums that drop, actually, that we didn't get a chance to talk about. And there's a lot of movies that I went to go see.
Yes. So, any particular album? I did talk about Playboi Carti, Die Lit.
That's your fault. Why would you do that to yourself?
No, because this is the culture. This is what's popping right now.
I'm not. You'd rather have fun listening to Block Boys album.
I thought you was going to talk about, like, Styles P, Jim Jones.
Hey, the Styles P album is really good.
Yes.
It's Styles P, your favorite rapper's favorite rapper, doing what he does best, giving you that lyrical ill. Jim Jones, he actually had a solid album. Shouts out to 50, though.
Yes.
Shouts out to 50.
What happened?
Like, oh, they got beef, bro.
Nah, they don't got beef.
They got beef,
nah,
bro.
50, nah, 50 Cent was just trolling him on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
You know how 50 Cent
real
does.
Real quick, I want to scrap music really quick because we were having this debate over at my other job. And you know my homie Donnell. He's from Harlem as well. And we had this debate, right? And this really wasn't a real debate because he's from Harlem. Sorry, Mike. We were talking about who was the better group. Who made the bigger impact? Who's the better group? Dipset or G-Unit?
Wait, that's two different questions. Bigger impact and better group.
Better group, bigger impact.
No. There could be a Dipset could be a better group.
No, they can't.
But G-Unit could be
G-Unit's a better group, but Dipset had a better impact.
No, they did not.
Yes, they did.
Absolutely not.
See, that's what I mean.
That is that Harlem Pride again.
No, G-Unit had better hits. G-Unit had way better songs.
Absolutely had better hits, but they had a bigger impact as well.
From 2003 to 2007, G-Unit ran music.
Right.
God, think. Get Rich or Die Trying came out.
Yes.
Then Lloyd Banks came out.
Yes.
Young Buck came out.
Think about the impact,
though. Tony Yayo came out.
Think about the impact,
what
Mike.
You gotta think.
Did you have G-Unit sneakers? Nah. Bash, did you have any G-Unit wear?
No, I did not.
You from Queens, Bash. You're supposed to back me up on this.
Nah, but you gotta think. Cameron had every kid wearing pink. Cameron had every dude wearing pink back
then. Fat Joe had every kid wearing pink, too.
Cameron did it first. Cameron had the pink fur coat with the pink Rolls Royce.
See, that's a difficult question because you're thinking about different eras. So if you're asking,
I mean,
like,
but it
which
still was
era?
It was still in the 2000s, though.
I don't know. I kind of have to agree on Mike with this one.
Yeah. Nah, bro. G-Unit. G-Unit.
If anything, you're asking the wrong question.
Yeah, you're asking the wrong question. Because G-Unit, obviously G-Unit had better songs because Lloyd Banks is better than Jim Jones in terms of the music category. Young Buck is a better lyricist than Freaky Zeke and all those guys. So it's like, I'm gonna go with G-Unit when it comes to songs, but in terms of culture and like fashion, I'm gonna have to go with Dipset.
No, Cameron had the bigger impact, not Dipset. Cameron.
And what is Cameron in?
But I'm saying it wasn't Dipset as a whole.
50 Cent had better impact
than Young Buck.
Than Young Buck.
No, because Young Buck had the G-Unit spinner chain.
That's true.
Thank you very much.
And then John Cena took You Can't See Me from
Tony Yayo's move. John Cena, You Can't See Me. So therefore, G Unit has the better impact because G Unit affected pop culture.
So I think they both affected pop culture equally.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Those are the top two of our childhood, I would say. I think
Murder Inc. 2, you gotta give it up. Before G Unit came in, Michael, yes.
I'm a bit different. I'm gonna say Good Music and end the conversation there.
Yeah. Other than Ashanti and Ja Rule, you can't really say anything about Murder Inc.
That's true.
Other than Ashanti and Ja Rule.
I mean those were the voices of a generation. If there wasn't any Ja Rule, there probably would not be any Drake right now.
I agree with you 100%. He was like in the words of 50 Cent, he was like one of the first rappers that blended like in our era that would blend like the rap and the R&B.
Play some Ja.
You know what, I like Ja Rule's music.
Ja Rule,
okay? I like.
I never had a problem with Ja Rule's music.
Yo, smile.
Because we need to stop. Y'all need to stop playing Ja Rule, okay? He want to come out say he was one of the most influential rappers, and y'all want to crap on him.
I won't believe that. You know, you said because of Ja Rule, there's no Drake. I don't believe that. It's all Kanye. He did.
Fab did his thing with that too, though. Like in that style of music, I think Fab did his thing with it. But that song with Tamia. That song he did with Lil Mo. Like, come on.
I know the. Like,
I can't really.
I mean, but he didn't sing on that track though. Look, the women sung on the track. I'm talking about
so
Ja Rule was
singing, good. Vocalizing,
yeah,
you know, harmony.
Oh,
you know?
like your lips,
yeah.
Your smile.
Exactly.
What up without you? We need to respect Ja Rule. That's gonna be the next episode. We need to respect Ja Rule
for one
in
minute.
The culture,
for
please.
One minute.
I love Ja Rule. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah,
I'm just
calling for his opinions.
Yeah, but ever since they resurrected that old Dave Chappelle
bit, yeah, yeah,
where's
yeah, yeah.
Ja? Everyone has been crapping on Ja Rule again, and I don't like it. It's funny, but I don't like it. Leave Ja alone, man. That's gonna be like the closing. That's my closing statements of Black Seinfeld today. I just want to thank y'all again for tuning in to us live. And if y'all missed this, of course, you can listen to this on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn maybe. I don't know. We're everywhere.
Yeah, so please follow us on our social medias on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Black Seinfeld NY. If you want to email us, check email us at blacksinfeldny@gmail.com.
See you again next week, and leave Ja Rule alone.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace.